All right, let's everybody get you Bibles open now. 1, 2. Hello. 1, 2.
Still ain't on.
Thank you, brother. All right, let's everybody get our Bibles open now to 1 Peter chapter 2. Everybody get your Bibles open now. 1 Peter chapter 2. Pray the Lord just bless all that gang back yonder. And they're getting ready for Christmas play and studying and everything else. So y'all pray for them. 1 Peter chapter number 2. We spent a long time last night and today answering emails and making phone calls of people that are doing that, whatever you call that, writing to us, emailing, and people from all over the country and some diverse ones. And I spent a while today on the phone calling people who had was wanting me to call them, but there's a lot of people contacting us of our services and watching them. They must be hard up for preaching, I'm telling you. But there's a lot of people watching it, and thank God for it. So I hope we can say something, be a blessing to you and them. And let's turn to Hebrews, 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2 tonight. And I will say something I believe will help every Christian in here tonight. There is not one person in here tonight don't need this. Not one. 1 Peter 2, 2, it said in verse 1, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies, that ought to be it. We shouldn't be hypocrite. We shouldn't be full of malice and guile and envies and all evil speaking, gossip and wicked talk and everything. We ought to lay all that stuff aside. Amen. All God's people said amen. As newborn babe. Listen, there ain't no excuse for somebody that's been saved 5 years be talking dirty and cussing and stuff like that. I've heard people say, well, I let one slip every now and then. Well, there's something wrong with you. I mean, I know ain't nobody perfect, but I'm telling you, if you have to cuss a little bit every 2 or 3 days, you need to get your heart washed. Whatever's inside you is going to come out. And I ain't talking about that tonight, but if you can't quit cussing, ask the Lord to cleanse what's inside you. Because if cuss is in you, cuss is going to come out. Now, the only exception I might make is if you work with people that cuss all the time. And you can't help but hear it. You hear it all the time. It gets in you. It gets in you. But it still don't have to come out. Our man said, well, I caught it right there. Well, if it comes that far out, it's already down in here. But anyway, look at verse 2. This is what we're going to talk about tonight. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Grow. The word I want to look at tonight is grow. Grow. Growing in grace. The Bible terminology is growing in grace. Growing in grace. There's a football coach one time of a professional football team. He was speaking of the difference between average professional football players and champions. He said, all pro football players do about 75% of what is expected of them. He said, they that do the other 25 become champions. And what he was saying was, if all you do is just what you have to get by, you're going to be an average so-so Christian. But he said, people that really do something for God are those that go the extra mile. Watch it. I mean, you know, anybody God uses, it ain't because they're talent. It ain't because there's a lot of talented people God don't use. It's because they are dedicated in such a way they give an extra effort that other people don't give. They'll fast, they'll pray, they'll discipline themselves, they'll give just that little extra push, and then it shows in their life. So I want to talk to y'all about growing. And I'm going to tell you something. You ought to be growing in grace. Nobody, and I mean nobody, should stay the same spiritually. You ought to be growing in the Lord more. You ought to be stronger in the Lord tonight than you was this time last year. I know people, and you do too, and we our church is full of them. They're exactly on the same spiritual level as they was 15 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. They grow to a certain point and stop. What if I had little Cody up here? He's back yonder. What if I put him up here tonight, him that high, And I said, boy, isn't it a blessing. Cody came through his surgery. Now, how old is Cody, Jimmy? And he said, he's 27. You'd say, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, what's wrong with him? He's 27. You'd think something's wrong with him. Well, there's something wrong with a child of God that's been saved 27 years and still on a 5-year-old or 4 or 5, 6-year-old level. Amen? Listen, I know people's been saved 25 years, still gets their feelings hurt every Sunday if somebody don't speak to them. We got an email. Reckon it's all right for me to tell about that? It's not. I'm going to. I want to tell. We got an email. If that person's listening, it's no offense. But we got an email. And this person come to camp meeting, and I have no idea who it was. And it said, him said, I came to your camp meeting. And I came to your camp meeting and said, I sat there and the preaching was really good. And it said, but the people were not friendly. Talking about y'all. And said, the people were not friendly. And the pastor, talking about me, did not even speak to me. And said, y'all need to work on that. And you know, she, whatever, they're right. I mean, we do need to work on it. We need to be friendlier. Amen. We need to. But we wrote them one back, and I said, look, you can't judge a church by a camp meeting service. Them people that sit around you, they might have been visitors too, and they was wondering why you wouldn't speak to them. That's true. And I didn't say, I guarantee you, I don't snub nobody on purpose. But even if the pastor walked by you and didn't speak, Lord help. If you're more than a year old in the Lord, you ought not to get bent out of shape over it. Grow a little bit in the Lord. Amen. I mean, it was about 3 people in here when I walked in here tonight said, glad to have you back. The rest of y'all didn't say, dog. Oh, I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit. You're going to have to do something a lot meaner than that to me to get me to quit. I ain't preaching for you, no way. I'm preaching for Jesus. Every one of you spit on me, I ain't quitting by the grace of God. Amen. But I ain't going to sit here and say, y'all didn't. Nobody told me there's glad I was back, but 3 people. Listen, I don't want to shake everybody's hand. You might have a disease or something. It ain't going to hurt my feelings a bit. Look, it's time. People need to grow up in the Lord. You need to be more mature in the Lord. Listen, if a preacher says something you don't agree with, let me put it like this. If a preacher don't say something that rubs you wrong once in a while, he ain't doing much preaching. Any preacher that preaches hard and right is going to rub you the wrong way once in a while. Just expect it. Get over it. And she wrote the email because I don't know how. I just said, put this, and she was real nice about it. And she said, if we hurt your feelings or we offended you, we're sorry. And we are. Amen? I thought that was too nice. But I let her go ahead and send it. And I think we are. I don't want to offend nobody. I'm sorry if I hurt their feelings. But good night in the morning, people. I mean, shouldn't. What are you going to do when something bad really happens to you? If somebody not shaking your hand hurts your feelings, what are you going to do when it really gets bad? We are living in a generation. Them people over in Iraq getting their heads cut off. And we get our feelings hurt if we don't get asked to do something or we feel shunned a little bit. It's good for you to feel shunned once in a while. It's good for you. You need to know how it feels. That's the way they done Jesus Christ. And we need to get our feelings hurt once in a while. It's good. Everybody shouldn't pet you all the time. Nobody should be petted all the time. I know preachers that just get petted all the time. You ought to get out in the world sometime and get cussed out once in a while. That's why that's good to knock on doors and stuff. It's good for you. It's good for you to get persecuted a little bit. But I want to talk about growing in grace tonight. And I'm going to talk about some things that are just so normal, it's ridiculous, and you hear them say it all the time, but you ought to do them. The one way you can grow in grace, I really hate to have to say this all the time, but you have to live, number one, in the Word of God. You have to live in this book, and you have to read this book. I don't know how many times I have to preach it. When you get up in the morning, get your Bible out and read it. first thing. Now, I know I'll say that, and half of y'all will get up tomorrow morning and turn the TV on. Or turn the radio. Well, I get a little preaching on. That's fine if you do. But I'm a firm believer in that you should get in the Word of God every morning. First thing, it points you in the right direction and gets you thinking right and started right. Listen, I read my Bible every morning, first thing. Buddy, I ain't the best Christian in the world, but by God's grace, I read my Bible every single morning. And I mean, tell you, I need all the help I can get. And I don't always make the right steps, but it gets me started thinking right. And I pray and I ask the Lord to help me. I did this morning. I did yesterday morning. I did the day before yesterday. I did the day before that. I'll do it tomorrow by the help of the Lord. And the next day and the next day. Live in the Word of God. You never stop growing as a Christian. Never. You need the Word of God just like you need food. It's amazing to me that you can get up every morning, first thing you think of is eat. I'm going to eat. I need food. That's just in your imagination. But you've got yourself trained to that, to think that. I need food. Boy, if you could get that same feeling toward your soul and the Word of God as you got toward your body and food, you might grow in the Lord like you're growing in the flesh. Amen. You know why you're growing in the flesh? You're feeding it. You know why you're shrinking in the spirit? You're starving it. You know why your flesh will look like his pulpit and your soul will look like that thing right there? Because you starve your spirit and feed your flesh. I'm just teaching. I'm not going to preach tonight. I've been gone. I want to be real sweet. You got to get in the Word of God. You got to get in the Word of God. And you people that have heard this all the time are going to have more to give account to and for than people that don't ever hear it. I mean, I harp on it all the time. Man, and you still will get up tomorrow morning and say, well, I don't know. I'll catch me a couple of chapters. You're done backslid by then. You say, well, preacher, I don't have time in the morning. You got time to stick something in that mouth. You got time to fix that coffee and that donut and that bowl of cereal and that Pop-Tart and them eggs. You say, I ain't got time to read my Bible. And you got time to go through McDonald's and sit there 10 minutes in that drive-thru on that big old biscuit, that greasy biscuit. I do that one. I like biscuits. I'm going to eat breakfast next Friday. When we go to Gatlinburg, I'll eat breakfast. I'll sit there and suffer through it with the rest of you while you sit there a while. But we'll eat breakfast that day. But most of the days, I just get my Bible and read it. Amen. I'm telling you something tonight, brother. You will not grow spiritually unless you get in this book. You read your King James Bible and you let that Word get inside you. You know why I look through everything? I look at everything scripturally. I don't always, listen, I ain't perfect, I'm a long way from it. But everything comes down the road, I look at it through the book. And you know why I do? Because I read it every day of my life, and I study it, and I try to get ready to preach it. I ask anybody, ask Kelly, ask my daughters, ask anybody around me. I got a verse. I had one of my girls today, they called me and asked me about something. They asked me about something about, and they was talking about somebody where that their mind was on other things. I said, where your treasure is, your heart is also. Just stuff like that. It just comes out all the time. And it ain't going to come out if you don't put it in.
Right.
How can the Holy Ghost bring something to your remembrance that you ain't never read?
That's right.
It can't bring to your... People say, well, how come I can't do that? Because it ain't in you. It's got to get in you. You can't burp and it smell like bacon if you ain't ate none. If it does, you're rotten inside. That's a bad illustration, ain't it? If it ain't in you, it can't come out. Talked to a guy yesterday last night, and I was trying to witness to him, and I think I smelled alcohol on him. And honest to goodness, he smelled like he acted like he's talking slow like this. And he asked me the same question about three times. And I thought, man, you've been drinking. But I couldn't tell if it was part aftershave or alcohol. It was real faint. And then finally he let it go. He said, I used to have an alcohol problem. You ain't used to have one. You still got one. I heard Lester Roloff preach this morning I believe it was this morning. Yep, I was in my Forerunner. I was listening to Lester Roloff. That's right. Because I was up on the other side of Marion. You can get Asheville, WKJV up there. Can't get it down here. And 1380, I believe it is. And man, I was listening to old Roloff. And he's talking about the Bible. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Not creation, like all the new versions say. Creature, what the King James says. All them preachers on TV said, you're a new creation. That ain't what it said. It said, you're a new creature. And you know what? Old Roloff, he's on there talking, and he said, I'll show you how unscriptural some of y'all think, because all you do is watch TV. He said, I heard this man, and this man started talking about, he said, I'm saved and I love the Lord, but I'm an alcoholic, but I'm saved. And Roloff said, well, how long has it been since you drank any? He said, 7 years. But he said, they told me I'll always be an alcoholic, but I'm just a Christian. I'm saved. And Roloff said, if you're an alcoholic and you ain't drunk none in 7 years, you must be a miserable person. He said, you ain't no alcoholic. You're a Christian. Let me tell you something, people. The Bible don't teach that. The Bible don't teach, well, I'm a drunkard, but I'm saved. The Bible teaches you're a Christian. That we got people now teaching Christians, well, I'm always an alcoholic. I just have to, no. Well, that's like saying I'm a liar. I'm a recovering liar. I'm a recovering gossiper. No, I'm a Christian. I lied, I've gossiped, I'm not drunk, but I've done stuff that's wrong. That don't mean you still are. He said, such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified. The Bible don't teach that you're still an alcoholic after you're saved. You're a former alcoholic, brother. That ain't Bible teaching. I think sometimes we drill that stuff in people's head, and then they start thinking, well, I'm always one. I'm probably just going to get in one of these days. Thank God you just is not. Listen, you just like you'd never drunk a drop if you get right with God and saved, and the Lord washes your sins away. I know the flesh is still there. I know the flesh may still have a weakness to it. I got that. I understand it. But it ain't Bible language to tell somebody they're still an alcoholic when they ain't drunk 7 years. Amen? That's like saying you're still an adulterer and you ain't committed adultery in 25 years. No, you're not. Bless the Lord. You're saved, sanctified, set apart, washed in the blood, child of God. Get scriptural in your thinking. Get scriptural in your thinking. I hear it all the time. I listen to preaching all the time. I was listening to Larry Brown this evening, and oh boy, he was in rare form, buddy. He was in a camp meeting somewhere, Christian college, something. He's shouting the house down, and he's preaching that great sermon. There ain't nobody like him. If you've never heard Larry Brown preach, ain't nobody like him. You ought to get it somehow and listen to it. I'm telling you, that's some preaching, buddy. I mean, it'll set you on fire. And I was listening to him preach, and I got to thinking. I thought, there's so much junk being taught today in churches that it is absolutely pitiful. It's pitiful. So you need to live in the Word. Another thing you need to do, you need to walk with God. Walk with God. Know Him better. You know another thing you need to do? We'll get these both together, is witness for God. Be more soul conscious, as the old saying goes. Be more soul conscious. Walking with God, I'm walking with the Lord, and I'm getting on the elevator, and there's a guy getting on the elevator, and I'm going up, beep, I get up, and I say, you got somebody sick? Yeah, my wife's having surgery. Well, I'm a preacher, I'll pray for her. That guy's talking to you about last night. We was at appliance store, looking at refrigerators. And this guy was waiting on me and everything, and I kept talking to him. And I thought, well, I'm gonna talk to him a little bit, and then I'm going to hit him with the truth. And lo and behold, he said, what do you do for a living? I mean, Lordy mercy, what do you want somebody to do? People want to open the door. I mean, what do you? And I said, I'm a preacher. He said, I thought something like that. And then, boy, that's an open door, man. And I just said, and I mean to tell you, I started talking to that guy, and I prayed with him. Me and her prayed with him right there in the store. And I laid my hand on his shoulder and prayed for him. And when I got through praying, he was wiping tears like that. And he said, y'all pray for me. And he promised he'd come to church Sunday. Do you know there's people out there, y'all? You know what he said? He looked at me and he said, help me. Help me. There's people out there wanting help, y'all. There's people everywhere wanting help. And the devil will tell you, oh, they don't want to talk about that. Today, I was running an errand for Corey because they've been to Florida and they should be back about right now. They've been driving all day. And I run an errand for them and I was hunting this place for them, and I couldn't find it. And this woman was walking up the street with her dog. And it really looked like the dog was walking her. But this is coming up the street. And she was sort of a rich-looking woman with this real wild-looking blonde hair. And she was walking up to me like this right here. And so I pulled over and rolled the window down. And I said, ma'am. And she said, yes. And I asked her where the place was. And you know what? The devil told me. I know it was the devil because it wasn't true. The devil said, now, this is a rich section of town. And she's probably a Catholic. And she don't, please, don't say nothing. Don't say nothing, Danny. Let's just go on up the road. And I thought, she's probably going to be a smart aleck or an atheist or something. And I said, I didn't listen to the devil, thank God. I said, you remember, ma'am, that Jesus loves you. And I thought she's going to bite my head off. And a smile come on her face. And she bent down and said, thank you so much. I was needing that today. I was just seeing the Lord last night. And I mean, she was turned into the sweetest lady ever was. The devil will tell you, don't go to that house. Don't speak to that person. They'll bite your head off. Now they might, but don't let the devil talk you out of witnessing. You need your head bit off once in a while. But the devil will make you afraid, or he'll tell you, oh, they're already saved. Them people saved, you can tell by looking at them. Now, you don't need to witness to them. You go ahead and do it anyway. What the Lord didn't say for us to go down the road and judge who we think needs it or who we think saved or not and witness. He said, preach the gospel to what? Every creature, whether we think they need it or not, whether they look like they like it or not. You say, well, it don't do any good if they don't like it. Yeah, it does too because you're obeying the Lord. You're obeying Him. So, you want to grow in grace? You live in this Word. My preacher used to say, wallow in the Word, wallow in the Word, wallow in the Word. And he'd say, keep your nose in that book. He said, you keep your nose in that book. Learn how to think biblically. Think biblically. Anything that comes up, any issue, political, religious, any issue, when evolution comes up, remember, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. He made them male and female. I've always wanted an evolution. I'm not educated enough in their field to do it, but I'd like to ask them how that two sexes evolved, male and female. How did all these animals evolve, and they're so different, and they all bring forth after their kind? And can't mate with each other. Rabbits, squirrels, opossum, raccoon. How in the world did that just happen by accident? Anything that comes up, think scripturally. Anything that comes up out in the world, a political issue, stuff they vote on, the same-sex marriages, think scripturally. Abortion, think scripturally. You say, well, what is scriptural thinking? Well, in the Bible, here I go again, in the Bible, it said the babe leaped in her womb, not the fetus. You want to know what the Bible says? It says a baby. It said the baby leaped in its mother's womb. Far as I'm concerned, that settles it. Is it a baby when it's in its mother's womb? Yes. Well, you know where we get that? We think scripturally. We think, and that gets rid of all the argument. That gets rid of it. There ain't no argument. You say, well, I know a church and they sit in there and they debate whether they believe it's really a baby until it's born, it's a fetus and all that. There ain't no argument. We think scripturally. It's not your opinion. We think scripturally. You know, I've got some different opinions than the Bible, but my opinions are wrong. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes when they'd do one little thing in the Old Testament, they'd kill them. in my mind, I think, man, that's a little harsh, ain't it? Did you ever, have y'all ever thought that? Be honest. Hadn't you thought, good night. Man, they didn't have no mercy at all. You know, if a son rebelled, bust his brains out. But you know what? It don't matter what my opinion is. God did it. They were Jews in the Old Testament. That's the way He chose to do it. That's it. Marriage is a man and a woman. That's it. There's a heaven, there's a hell. That's it. In between? Nope. You say, can't you allow for a little difference? Nope. We think scripturally. We think through the lens. We look at everything through the lens of the Scripture. Well, don't you think for people there might be an in-between between heaven and hell? I don't know. Let's look. Nope. Sure ain't. You say, well, you're just narrow-minded. No, I ain't. I'm like Brother Ed said. That's how narrow-minded we are right there. That's how narrow-minded we are. In between that back and that back. We're growing in grace. You should be further along down the road than you was this time last year. Amen? Here's the way it is in your Christian life. It's like playing football. Here's football. You know, you got this line of guys right here, and you got the quarterback right here, and all these guys, man, it'd be easy if there wasn't a bunch of other guys over here trying to stop you. It'd be well, here, running across the goal line. But you got all these guys over here, and they're trying to stop you. That's the same way it is living for God. You're trying to go forward, and there's somebody trying to stop you. And you fight for every ounce of ground you get. Let me tell you all something. There's good crowd here tonight, but there's some people that are not here. I text people this evening that's not here tonight, or at least one or two. And I said, be at church tonight. And they're not here. And you know what they're sitting at home or somewhere, and they're thinking, it's not affecting me a bit. But every time you miss church, every time you sin, you're getting the devil pushing you back a little bit. And then it's 15 yards to the first down. And then it's 20 yards to the first down. And then you got to make up all that ground you lose. That's why you go to church regular. That's why you read your Bible every day. It's a fight forever. I mean, them guys, sometimes they don't get but about that far, that football. And they got somebody trying to push them back. Sometimes they'll snap that ball and they actually go backwards. I've felt like that before. Ain't you felt like the devil just pushed you back? Then you have to fight to make up that ground. I feel like that all the time as a pastor. I felt like that ever since I started preaching. I get knocked back, and I fight to get back. And I get knocked down, and I fight to get back up. And buddy, I'm telling you, it's a fight, but thank God there's somebody with you that'll help you if you'll keep on keeping on. It's like when you miss church, you let a day go by and don't witness or don't pray or read your Bible and lay out of church and go somewhere. It's like, have you ever been putting gas in your car and you fill it and then you squirt a little bit out on the ground and you go, ah! And you ever went there, went about a dollar's worth. Just a little bit on the ground. You'll never get that back, man. You got to pay for it and it's wasted, spilled on the ground. But you still have to pay for it. That's the way your life is. And I'll tell you, one time I was down here at this place on exit, is it exit 116 where that McDonald's is down yonder? That store there? I stopped there and got gas one time years ago and I had my 4Runner. And I was in a hurry and I put the thing in there and clicked it, you know, where it'd run. And I was going to run in here and get me something to drink or something while it was filling up, you know, take it probably a couple of minutes to fill up. And I went to the restroom, got me something to drink, fooled around. And that thing got hung, and it filled up, and I went out there, and gas was just flying out of there, and there was a river going down through there. I went, ah! And I grabbed it's $72, $3, something like that. And that's when you could fill it up, $30. I put $45 worth of gas running down through there. Oh, you talk about sick. I thought I ought to throw a match on that river right there. Blow this place up. I thought, that's awful. And I thought, well, maybe I ought to tell them because there's something wrong with this animal, but it really ain't their fault. You're supposed to stay there and watch. You ain't supposed to just walk off and leave it running. But I still do that. I done it the other day. I leave it. It's supposed to click when it gets full. Son, it's just a running heart, pretty as you please down through there. You know what? That's wasted ink. Never going to get that back. It's gone, buddy. Ain't never going to get it back. And that's the way days are and weeks are. That's the way missing church is. You ain't never going to get that back. You pay for it. But it don't do you a bit of good. See, when you're going to grow in grace, y'all, you have to stay with it. All right? Anybody, y'all can say something. I've been talking the whole time. I was gone last weekend and I'm trying to catch up. I'm going to give you three things that you can do that will help you grow in grace. Three things. A little practical advice, right quick. If you'll do these, excuse me, these three things, it'll help you. Number one, don't compare yourself to other Christians. Just because you're ahead of somebody else don't mean you're doing great. We can always find somebody, well, I'm doing better than they are. Well, Lord have mercy, that ain't nothing. I mean, there's always somebody sorrier than you are. You can blame your life's failures on. There's always. You know the story about the drunks, you know. One drunk says, well, I'll tell you one thing, preacher. He said, I do. I mean, I got a drinking problem, I'll admit it. But I ain't like some of these people. I can get up and go to work on Monday morning. Next guy says, well, I'll be honest with you, preacher. He said, I once in a while, I'll miss on Monday, but I'm there on Tuesday. I ain't like some of these people. Next guy said, I'll tell you one thing. I miss. As a matter of fact, I've been fired a couple times. But to be honest with you, I can hold my liquor. I don't throw up on everything. And the next guy says, well, I tell you, I'm pretty bad once in a while, and I have. I throw up every now and then. Next one says, well, I ain't like some of these people. I throw up, but I ain't ever rolled over in it but two or three times. You know, you can always find somebody worse than you are to compare yourself. Don't compare yourself to other Christians. Don't say, well, so-and-so's a leader in our church, and he don't go on visitation, so I'm not. So-and-so ain't your model. So-and-so ain't your... Well, so-and-so does something in our church, and she don't come to Sunday school. I look every Sunday, and they come in at 11 o'clock. So if they're not, I'm not. So-and-so ain't your example. You're making a mistake by comparing yourself to other people. You say, well, so-and-so, I sell what she wears, and so if it's all right for her to wear it, it's all right for me to wear it. That ain't your example. You don't go by what so-and-so does or don't do. So-and-so don't do this, so I'm not going to do it. So you can always find somebody to make yourself feel like, boy, I'm really living right. Don't compare yourself with other people. Amen? Be the best possible that you can for God. One of the biggest mistakes people make is look around and say, well, nobody else ain't doing it. I'm not going to do it. Maybe if you would do it and get on fire for God, somebody else might. Ain't that right? Don't compare yourself with others. Quickly, number two. Be around. This is good advice. Be around as much as possible some people more mature or more spiritual than you. That's why you need to listen to preaching every day. Listen to somebody that's a little bit more right with God than you are, or a little closer to God than you are. Don't pick out the most wicked, backslid person at work you can possibly find to eat with every day at lunch. Try to find somebody that's right with God and y'all can fellowship with. And I'm not talking about being a snob, but I'm talking about hang around people, iron sharpeneth iron, brother. So the man's countenance does his friend. You get talking about the Lord, it helps me. It helps me when I'm around somebody. We're talking about the Lord and they're talking about Scripture. And there's some old preacher called me the other night. And boy, he was fired up and he said, glory to God, preacher. He said, you keep preaching, keep shelling the corn. Man, I love that preaching. When me and him got to talking and I thought, amen. You know, now if I'd have got to talk to somebody and said, this other preacher said, well, I tell you what, I'm about sick of it. I preach my guts out and people don't appreciate me and all that. He just dragged me down. Hang around and listen to as much as possible. By the way, when you're around somebody that's constantly finding fault with the church, are you listening? Constantly, and every time you get around them, it's just talking about this person and that person and that person. You're talking to a bitter, backslid person who needs to get their heart right with God. When your heart's right with God, you don't go around talking about bad about everybody in the church. You might know bad stuff, but you don't want to talk about it. Say amen right there. You watch these people under the guise of being spiritual that want to tell you all the faults of everybody in the church. Don't listen to somebody like that. I don't care if they shout every time the door's open. I don't care if they cry and give a testimony. If somebody gossips about everybody in the church and runs their mouth about it, their heart ain't right with God. You don't do that when you're right. You don't do that. You try to help people, build them up. So that, hang around people more spiritual than you. Number three, do not measure or display your spiritual growth. What does that mean? Don't be a show-off on what you've learned or what you know. Don't look at everybody like, you people need to get right. You know, I'm on a higher level than all the rest of you backsliders. That's a wrong attitude to have. You'll never grow in grace looking down on others. Let me tell you something right quick. Somebody saw a preacher one time and says, he's a great preacher, but he don't know it. He's a great preacher, but he don't know it. The minute a preacher starts thinking he's a great preacher, he ceases to be one. The minute you start thinking, I'm a great Christian, that's the second you ain't one no more. Great people don't know they're great. Great singers, preachers, people, soul winners, great Christians don't realize their greatness. You know, somebody's talking about the revival we had many years ago, over 20 years ago, up in Marion and all that. And I was talking to somebody about it, and people were getting saved, every service and everything. And I thought, you know, I told them, I said, you know what? We didn't even realize that it was happening. I didn't even realize it. Till you get down the road and look back and think, Lord, have mercy. That don't happen nowhere. See, if you start thinking, I'm this and I'm that and I'm great, you ain't great. You don't display your spiritual growth. You don't walk in like, listen, I've arrived, let me tell you people how you... You know, that ain't the right attitude. There ain't no... Everybody in this world that's a Christian is in school and we're a student of the Word of God. We ain't got it mastered. Nobody's graduated. You don't graduate till you die. That's why... Don't get mad at me. That's why I'm not really crazy about calling people doctors. I know there's a lot of people who have earned doctor's degree. If they have, praise God, I'm happy for them. But that's why I don't like to hear people called scholars. A scholar is somebody that's mastered the subject. They ain't no scholar. They ain't no such thing as a Bible scholar. There's no such thing as somebody that's mastered every bit of this book. We're students, all of us. Man been studying it 50 years. He's a student of the Word of God. So keep that attitude. Stay humble. Stay humble. Don't get too big for your britches. And you can grow in grace. Sometimes people will misjudge you and criticize you. But, you know, you'll be all right. You shouldn't fuss about the same thing. You should be further down the road tonight than you was this time last year. And further down the road tonight than you was 2 years ago tonight. Further down the road tonight than you was 3 years ago. You should be more mature, more spiritual, not less. People shouldn't look at you and say, boy, I remember when they never missed a service. Or when they shouted and they sung in the choir and they loved the Lord and now they don't. You shouldn't be going backwards. You should be going forwards. That's what's called grow in grace. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Come on, Miss Desi, and play something. If you felt a little tiny bit of conviction while I've been talking tonight, I want you to right now pray and say, Lord, help me with that. Lord Jesus, we come before you tonight asking you to forgive us of all of our sins. Everything we've said, God, everything we've done, wrong or wicked or evil, we pray forgiveness right now in Jesus' name. Bless every single person here tonight. Lord, I don't know the need of every heart, but you do. Help us to grow. Lord, we want our attendance to grow, but we want our attenders to grow. And be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. Forgive us where we failed you, Lord. Help us to be right and do right and act right, talk right. preach right and sing right and live right every day of our life. Bless every single man here tonight as the head of their home. I pray you'd bless them. I pray you bless every lady here tonight, that you'd bless her. I pray for every child, teenager back there in the back tonight, getting ready for Christmas and all the things that's going on here at the church. I pray you'd bless. Help us to be strong. Lord, help us not just to grow in attendance, but grow in grace. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. Have your way in our hearts this evening, Lord. Forgive us where we failed you. Help us to grow in grace. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. 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 All righty. Amen. We're gonna go ahead and be dismissed. Hope everybody be ready to go visiting Saturday morning, 9:30. Y'all, if you ain't got signed up for the couple's trip, get on there. You need to get paid up tonight. $67, giving you money. And Brother Derek, Miss Shaughnessy, and we're going to have a great time on the couple's trip, okay? Let's stand. We'll be dismissed. I'm going to ask Brother Jimmy here to dismiss us, and everybody fellowship before you go, okay? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we will pray.